All right. Hey, man, I saw a deal the other day. It was that Foxworthy funny guy, and he says, any church that needs rock stars and all this kind of stuff, so that preacher ought to be fired, amen. But anyway, I thought that was good, amen. Well, Reverend, hallelujah and all that stuff from Alabama, here he comes. Amen. I thank God for him. You know, from the rest of your life, you said, well, I was ordained at Heritage Baptist Church, Great Falls, Montana, amen. I was thinking about a family the other day. Well, the Beerman, the little boy, got saved in Montana. Just like when we are born someplace. My wife was born in Esterville, Iowa. She'll never be a Minnesota girl as much as she wants to be. And I was born in Michigan, and I can't be born in Montana as much as I want to be. I'm still a Michigan boy, amen. And that Rudy's always getting after me about being a Yankee, so I can't change that, amen. So, all right, praise the Lord. I'm glad you're here tonight. Thank you for that song. That was good, amen. That was good, amen. All right, brother.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Good evening. And it's so good to see you. I know me and Christina, we found out we were coming up here. We have been excited to come and see you. And, boy, so many memories here. So many friends that we have made for a lifetime. And we thank God for you. We pray for you often. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter number 16. Book of Luke chapter number 16. I'm going to stand for the reading of God's Word, Luke chapter number 16. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1. And he said unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For the Lord taketh away from me thy stewardship. I can dig to beg, I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, that they may receive me into their house. So he called every one of his lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou, my lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in the generations wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make of yourselves friends of mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Then the Bible says this, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray as we think about being a good steward, Lord, I think about how much you have invested in me, and Lord, I thank you so much for this church and how that they've invested in me throughout these years. And Lord, I pray that we would, as we look in tonight's message, that you would just help me not to be nervous, help me to preach your word. And Lord, thank you so much for all you do for us, Lord. Pray, Holy Spirit, that you would empower me. And we love you so much. In your name, amen. You may be seated. Jesus had been in the house of the chief Pharisees, probably in Jerusalem, giving parables directed at the Pharisees. And many times when I read this, you know, you think about the Pharisees and the scribes and, you know, how did they get there? And you think about the 400 years of silence from the Old Testament to the New Testament and how that the Pharisees and the scribes and how that they came on the scenes. And I encourage you to study that. It's called the 400 years of silence. But in Luke 16, Jesus tells his disciples not to be like the Pharisees in the way they handle money. Matthew, Mark, Luke, one out of every six verses deals with money, stewardship, or possessions. Of the 29 parables Christ told, 16 deals with a person and his money. Jesus spoke more about money than he spoke about heaven or hell. That's just a quote right there. You think about a steward. What is a steward? A steward is someone who manages another's wealth. May I say, God is the owner, and we are the stewards. We are the managers. 1 Corinthians 4:2, if you turn there real quick. 1 Corinthians 4:2, the Bible says, moreover, it is required in a what? Steward, that a man be found what? Faithful. And you know, I thought about a steward. I thought about, you know, Apostle Paul's writing and he's saying, moreover, above unity in the church, which he talked about in the previous chapters, above being able to take preaching, moreover, above all of that, it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. And you know, I thought about this week and I thought about, man, how much God has been so good to me and blessed me. And I think about the day that he called me in the ministry and what a wonderful calling that was and how that I was scared. But yet, you know, I think about our church and I think about our pastor. And this week has just really encouraged me just to be able to sit down with him and think about a man that's been faithful through the good times and through the bad times, a good steward. You know, the Bible teaches us to be good stewards of what God has given us. So before we get in the text, let me ask you this question. What are we doing with what God has entrusted with us? Are we being good stewards of what God has given to us? First of all, in this passage of Scripture, we see their master's rebuke, how he rebuked the steward. Verse 1, the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. You think about accuser as a judge. And we think about how that God is the great judge and that how that whether the steward meant to waste his substance or not, we don't actually know. But we know that, in fact, he did waste his substance. And if he did it subconsciously without thinking or maybe just slips, we don't know. But, you know, a lot of times as a steward, sometimes we can maybe not even think of all that God has given to us to be a good steward about. And it maybe slips our mind. But may I say to you, the master's rebuke, and that's why we have a preacher. He stands up in the pulpit and rebukes us, tries to get us right, tries to get us to take heed of the warning of God, that we may be found faithful to Jesus, that we may be good stewards of what he's given us. And I can just imagine here is a man that's being a judge by his master, and now he has to give an account of what he had done, whether he intended to do it or not. He had wasted his substance. Turn your Bibles to Romans 14, verse number 10. Romans chapter 14 and verse number 10. You think about the accusation of the master and how he accused him that he wasted his substance. I thought about this verse, Romans 14, verse number 10 through 12. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give a what? An account of himself to God. You know, I thought one day we are going to give account to the one that has done so much for us. He has given us so much. What has God given us? He has given our time, that we could steward our time, that we could be well stewards in time. You think about our time. You know, do we spend time in the Bible? Do we spend time in prayer? What else has God given us? He's given us talents. We all have talents. I think about our church, and when they asked me to be the interim pastor, we did not have a piano player, really. And boy, you know, my wife, she's trying, she's learning, and she's doing a great job. But, you know, I preach this to our church, how that God has given us all talents, and we can all use them for God's glory and God's honor. And boy, little did we know that we had a lady there that had been playing for 30 years. And she came up to me right after the message and said, you know what, I like to play. And then a organist. We have an organ that has never been used. And I thought, man, here comes another gentleman that has been saved for many years. And he said, you know what, I'd like to play the organ. And just last Sunday we had that played for the first time. And I thought, wow, you know, how many of us have talents out there that we could steward for God's glory and God's honor, but yet we just hide them? We don't do anything with what God has given us. We all have talents. Some of us can sing, and some of us do not need to sing. I'm a witness of that. And I try to sing, but, you know, I guess it's a southern drawl that comes out. I don't know. But anyways, God has given us all talents, and we could steward them for His glory and God, for His honor. Next of all, you think about the gospel. When I think about the gospel, I think about God's word. You know, a preacher preaches, and we are responsible for what he preaches. We are responsible for his message to that we hide God's word in our heart. The Bible says, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." And you think about how that God has given us so much, and when a preacher preaches, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? Sin. We're accountable to that. We know what to do. We know how to live. The preacher preaches, and yet so many times we are not being good steward of the message of the gospel. And I thought about, you know, how are we being good stewards of the gospel around the world and just handing out tracts. I never forget of this illustration of this humpback man. He had a big humpback, and he was from Wales. A preacher went out, and how that he went to Wales, and boy, how that he preached a revival for this church. And he said, after, is there any testimonies that anyone would like to give? And boy, one lady raised her hand. She said, yeah, this man with a humpback on the back of his back, I don't even know his name, tapped me on the shoulder and said, here, read this. It will change your life. And soon, and then another person came up and said, oh, yes, I remember. Man tapped me on the shoulder, too, and said, hey, read this. It'll change your life. And I read it, and it changed my life, and I came to church. And, boy, as he went out witnessing in the streets, testimony after testimony of a humpback man, they didn't even know his name, how they just tapped him on the shoulder and said, read this. It'll change your life. Boy, the preacher just... Man, he wanted to meet this awesome soul winner, and he searched everywhere from Wales, and he asked everyone, hey, do you know where this man lives? And no one knows, but yet testimony after testimony of this man that had just tapped him on the shoulder and said, hey, read this. It'll change your life. Finally, the man said, you know what, I got to go home. And he was traveling on the ocean to go back home, and all of a sudden he was looking out on the horizon and just saying, man, Lord, I'd really like to meet this guy. And all of a sudden, he felt a tap on the back of his shoulder, and he turned around, and it was that humpback man. He said, hey, read this. It will change your life. And you know, the man said, I found you. I found you. You're the greatest soul winner ever. He said, he looked at him and said, what do you mean? And he said, testimony after testimony of you passing out these tracts and saying, hey, read this. It would change your life. And tears came down that old man's face. And he said, man, you don't know how many times I thought I haven't been reaching anyone. And this is just useful. You don't know how many times I thought about quitting. But, man, you just encouraged me. You know, I thought about the power of a gospel tract. And how that we are stewards of God's gospel. And maybe we don't have talents to talk to people. Maybe we don't have talents to knock on doors. and really proclaim the gospel. But you do have a talent to tap someone on the shoulder and say, hey, read this. It will change your life. And the power of a gospel can change people's life. What are we doing with what God has entrusted us? Are we being good to the stewards? Second of all, we see his decision. Or second of all, we see that the steward responds in verse 3 through 8, how that he had a dilemma. He gave an account of his stewardship. And regardless if he meant to waste his good or not, he did waste his goods. And in, I love this, his decision. He acted fast. And you know, a lot of times we hear the preaching of God's word, but do we act upon it? Or do we change what God has entrusted us and how the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts? Are we doing something? Are we making a quick decision and say, you know what? Hey, I'm about to give an account. You don't know when your life's done. The Bible says life is but a vapor. It appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And you say, oh, I can do that. I still have time. No, you don't. Today is the day. The rest of your Christian life starts today. And boy, act fast. And he acted fast. And he went and he deducted half from the debt of the one and a fifth from the other. And boy, then we see how that he commanded him, not for injustice, but because he had done wisely. He done wisely. Money is not to be idolized, nor is to be despised. We must use it for God's glory and God's honor. Third of all, we see the Lord's recommendation. Tonight, this is not a lengthy message, but the Lord's recommendation in verse number 8 through 13. He says, be a wise steward. He commended him because not of his injustice, but because he had done wisely or prudent with his commendable foresight and a means to an end. He prepared wisely. Boy, we ought to be preparing wisely. You think about Luke chapter number 14, if you turn there real quick, verse 28. Luke chapter 14 and verse 28. For which of you indeed to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost whether he has sufficient to finish it? 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, every man according to his purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. How we need to be wise stewards with what God has given us. Prepare wisely. You think about Proverbs 6, the ant. I love that verse. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. You think about an ant, that little tiny pesky ant. And sometimes they make me mad. But we can learn a lot from that little ant. How that ant's a hard worker. That ant is diligent. He's constantly trying to gather food. Why? Because winter's coming. Winter's coming. And you know, there's a hell coming to people. There's a hell coming to people. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that maybe your mom, your dad, your grandparents are going to go to a place called hell? So what are you doing about it? Are you being a good steward? You say, man, I keep telling them about the gospel, and yet they harden their heart. They say, no, no, no. But yet you can still pray, pray, pray. And the power of prayer and the power of keep after it and the power of just not giving up but still having a burden for your loved ones. When we tithe, we should give according to what God has given us. You know, the Bible says, John 3:16, that's right. For God so loved the world that he what? Gave. Boy, God gave so much for us. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish in hell, but have everlasting life. Prepare eternally. You think about verse number 9. Matthew 6, verse 19 through 21. Let's turn there real quick. Matthew 6, verse number 19 through 21. Just about done. I love this verse. Lay up Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. And boy, I stop there and I think, man, we're really good at this verse. We do lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. I'm guilty of it. I mean, we do. But the Bible says this, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. The Bible says this, for where your treasure is, there will be your heart be also. And boy, how we need to be preparing eternally. Heaven is coming. And boy, you think about how that when we stand before Jesus and our works, our hay, wood, and stubble are all put in the fire, and yet what is truly going to last is that gold, frankincense, and myrrh, the gold and how that when it goes through a fire, it comes out a precious metal, and how that everything we do will either be burned up or it will last forever for Lord, and how we need to be preparing eternally, being a wise steward, being a faithful steward. That's my last point, being a faithful steward. He that is faithful in the least is faithful also in much. Sometimes I wonder, God's given me so much, and yet am I just being wasteful with what He's given me? So many times I think, am I faithful in what God's given me? You know, sometimes the reason why God never blesses people is because they're not good stewards of what God's given them. And I challenge myself, be a good steward of what God has given me. Last of all, I'll end with this illustration on the smartest scientist. Who is the smartest scientist of all time? Many people, how many of you know who Albert Einstein is? You know Albert Einstein? Let me tell you what he did. He founded a theory of relativity, whatever that is. Anyways, C equals MC squared. And boy, man, they just, history books say, without a doubt, smartest scientist ever. But in fact, in the Michael Faraday's era, there was a man smarter than Michael Faraday, or man smarter than Albert Einstein, and never had one peer ever debate him. His name was Michael Faraday. And they're the Faraday, sorry, thank you. They're the smartest scientists that of his day had and never had one peer debate him. His mother was a teacher and his father was a blacksmith, but he fell in love with chemistry. And Michael Faraday, let me tell you what he discovered. He discovered stainless steel. You think about where would we be without stainless steel? Airplanes, stainless steel. How many of you would like to fly in a wooden airplane? Yeah? No? Yeah, stainless steel. You think never rust, never embalm. You think about fast food restaurants, all stainless steel. He found a way to bend light where we find the X-ray, how that millions of people, and even people here today, because of Michael Faraday's technology, cancer was found in your body and you were preserved. You had a chance to live because of Michael Faraday's invention, but yet you never hear about him. Why? Because in fact of his multi-millions of dollars, in fact of his being the smartest scientist of his day, he never let one day come between him and God. He was a man faithful, a faithful steward with what God had given him, and God entrusted him with much. And society has hated his guts ever since. And you think about how that one day Prince Henry came and to hear Michael Faraday speak, talking about being faithful, don't lose me, all right? Prince Henry came and to hear Michael Faraday speak, and he had 3 days. On Wednesday night, Michael Faraday had 4 hours to speak, and yet Prince Henry, and because of all the crowds and standing ovation, it lasted 6 hours. And yet a spokesperson caught up, and he came to the microphone and said, I'm sorry, but while you were giving your applause, Michael Faraday had to slip out because tonight's Wednesday night church. Well, and he doesn't miss church for speaking engagements. Right. I thought, here's a man that has God's, he has millions and millions of dollars, and speaking in front of the smartest, most powerful people in the world, and yet slipped out because he doesn't miss church. And if you think about the preacher that preached to him, it is recorded that he could barely even read and write. And you think about why? Because he was dedicated to God's house. And you know, what are we? Are we good and faithful servants? Are we good at being a good steward with what God has given us? God's given us so much, yet we give so little back to him. Moreover, it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his best. He gave his only begotten son. And yet, what are we giving back to him? With our heads bowed and eyes closed, I encourage you to come if the Holy Spirit spoke into your heart of being a good steward for the gospel of Christ.
Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for the words we've heard from the Bible. Thank you, Brother Brown. Pray God you bless him and his wife and children. Bless that church, Lord, and may they call him to be their pastor. And Lord God, I pray that he would serve you all his life, and he'd be faithful. And Lord, he would stand the times that many who are trying to tear down would realize they ran into somebody that has God on his side. And Lord, I pray you just do a great work in his heart, his life. Lord, I pray there be anyone here tonight not sure they're saved, not sure they're on the way to heaven. Dear God, I pray tonight that you'd open their hearts to the Word of God. And Lord, if there's folks here tonight not sure that things are right with them, that they get that way. Also pray, Lord Jesus, for those who join our church and those who serve you. God, I pray you just help them have that opportunity tonight. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes closed. I'm going to ask you all to stand. You're here tonight and you're not sure you're saved. I never want to close this service without giving you an opportunity to make sure you have an opportunity to get saved. That would be a terrible thing to come to church like this and not get saved. And if you're here tonight, you're not sure you're saved, you come right now. Just step out of that seat. Come down. Pianist's going to play, organist. You come right now. I'm not sure I'm saved, preacher. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I want to make sure of that. Why don't you come right now? You're here tonight and say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God. We want to serve here. You come right now. Say, preacher, there are some things that God's speaking in my heart. Maybe you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Why don't you come at this time?